Welcome back. Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper Pencil Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to Paper Pencil Dice. Last time, our heroes were sitting around a fire, exchanging stories, learning a little bit more about each other, and also learning more about the forest around them, or more specifically, some of the creatures that were around in the forest around them. But before we dive into what's coming on next, let's go ahead and do a round of introductions. So first of all, let's start with Tormir. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm playing Tormir, the dwarf monk. And currently, I am glad I wasn't involved in any sort of squirrely situation last night.
All right. Up next, Tegan. You want to go introduce yourself?
Hey guys, this is the other Chris. I play Tegan, the gnome sorcerer, and I love tea because tea is awesome when it's made with or without tea leaves.
All right. And with that kind of introduction, let's throw it over to Tabitha.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm playing Tabitha and also Francis, and I do know what the proper way of brewing tea is, and also what the proper content of tea should be. This is going to be an ongoing joke, and well, we'll see how it plays out. So Francis and I have defended the camp recently, and we investigated squirrels with tentacle properties.
All right. Up next, Jethal, do you want to go ahead and give yourself a quick introduction?
I'm playing Jethal Zahn. I don't know anything about squirrel tentacles, but that sounds not appealing. I'm all for the tea, though.
There you go. All right, and last but not least, Thier, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah. I'm Brian. I play the role of Aether, a Seer Elf fighter, who also likes tea. Does not like tentacled squirrels, though, and luckily was able to deal with such vicious animals in the last episode. So hopefully no more vicious squirrels.
Absolutely. Bad with the vicious squirrels.
Well, so you guys have packed up your camp and headed out. You're roughly about one day's travel away from Inconavis, and as you go along your path, you do spot a handful of other rabbits and squirrels and other things that seem to have these weird tentacles on them. They pop up every once in a while. They seem to be more attracted to the loudest among you. So whoever happens to at that point in time, it doesn't seem to be necessarily consistent, but whoever's making the most noise tends to be the one to go for. Aether seems to probably be the one attracting it most, just because he's the one with the heaviest armor of the group, and that tends to make a little bit more noise than the rest. That aside, none of them pose any problem for you. You're able to pretty much dispatch any and all of these, you know, small pest animals, essentially, for lack of a better term, or small prey animals, without any challenge whatsoever. I'm not even going to require you to roll for it. But as you're getting closer, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would continue to burn the bodies just to prevent further corruption of the forest.
Okay. So you do your best to burn them. I mean, you're not trying to waste a lot of time, I assume, on the way there. But yeah, you do your best to burn the bodies as you do that. And as you're getting closer and closer to Inconavis, there's more and more, and now about maybe an hour outside, it's worse. It's way worse. There are just pretty much most of the animals you see are corrupted in one way or another. It's at the point where you will probably have to find some sort of creative way to get through them. So it's up. How do you guys want to try? Are you going to try to bull rush your way through the crowd of animals? You know, you see at this point larger animals. There are deer. There are, you know, a few other, you know, decent sized animals. You probably even spot like one bear that seems to be, you know, covered in tentacles at the same time.
Now, do they seem to be having, do they seem to be scared of us or feeling no fear?
They don't appear to have any fear. The other thing you notice is they don't appear to be attacking each other, other than they do attack the odd animal you see that is not infected with whatever is causing these tentacles. So there seems to be some sort of a hive sentience or something like that that's causing them not to attack each other, even if their original species was completely different, or possibly were, like in the case of, you know, bears and the other ones, would have normally preyed on one another. They seem to somehow being working in some sort of a chaotic concert with one another. And you're at the point now where, you know, you come up to the edge of this cliff and looking down, they do not seem to have taken notice of you. But between Tabitha and Tormir are probably the first two to spot it, with their higher base perception. Just the fact that there's just this teeming mass of infected animals between you and the goal you're going towards. So you can either try to find a different path and maybe cost yourself a couple days, or try to make your way through this crowd.
Do they seem to be, have we encountered them being scared of, like fire, or are they worried about Francis, or do they just seem to disregard him?
Francis seems to not cause any fear in them at all. You've also been careful with Francis this whole time just to make sure he doesn't get affected by whatever it is that's going on with them. But no, they seem to have no regard for Francis. They seem to be attracted to sound, and yes, they are afraid of fire.
Ooh.
So, do you guys want to try to find a way around, or do you guys want to try to find your way through? It's not like a solid mass, but there's no way you're going to get through without finding some way to clear the path.
I would say the best way would be to go forward through it, take them all on.
Yep.
Can I do a distraction first, or is it going to be part of the bull rush?
That will be, if that is the direction you guys are going, we are going to go into a skills challenge.
First, does anybody have a sound production, where you can throw sounds?
No, I have a fireball I can throw. That's why I was asking. I was going to do that as a distraction, but I can also cast silence too.
Both of those are viable options to do during the skills challenge. So
awesome.
So we will. First of all, can everyone go ahead and roll me? I will allow either perception or stealth for your initiative. You can choose which skill you'd like to use.
So, Aethir, with his ancestral longevity, would have still kept nature.
Okay.
Prior point, so that'll be...
Thank you for reminding me about that. Was there any other daily options anyone needed to choose?
I don't believe so.
No.
Okay. Thank you for the reminder on that, Aethir. All right, I will go through here. So, Tegan, what'd you get on your initiative?
A mighty, mighty 10.
All right.
Hey, that sounds pretty mighty compared to
me.
Does sound pretty mighty indeed. All right, after that, Tabitha, what'd you get?
I got a 20.
Okay. Jethal?
I got a 8.
8. Very speedy.
I'm wonderful.
Hey, you're getting your bad rolls out of the way when they don't actually matter.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah?
You wanted me to just roll a perception, right?
Correct.
Just a straight or initiative?
Well, they're the same roll. The in roll 20, the way the system works, if you roll it with initiative and you have your miniature selected, it automatically adds you into the turn order tool.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I was rolling the correct.
The reason why it gives you two options is that way it doesn't keep replacing doesn't keep adding you to the initiative order when you click on that.
Oh, okay.
All right. That was Jethal. Aethir, what'd you get?
14.
All right. And Tormir, what'd you get?
I rolled a wonderful 9.
A wonderful 9.
8, 9, 10. Look at that.
8, 9, 10. So All right, so again, you guys are at the top of a cliff. In the very far distance, you can see the city of Incanavis. Your goal in this skills challenge is to get to Incanavis. You do see smoke rising from Incanavis. What you're not sure at this point is if the smoke is from distress in the city or if it's possibly just smoke rising from chimneys like it normally would be. It's difficult to tell at this distance. So between you and the city stands a plethora of infected animals of various types. So, Tabitha, you get to start us off. What would you like to do to help the group get through the crowd of animals into Incanavis?
I am... Sorry. I am trying to figure out what would be the best course of action. I don't feel that my short bow would really do a lot of to slow them down other than to probably like wound the biggest of the animals. And I'm not very good at deception. Can I make a nature check?
Sure.
To see
what are you wanting
really
to
natural?
Do? They are not natural, but if you want to try to find some way to use your knowledge of nature or your essence of nature to give you some sort of advantage, you're welcome to explain that.
So I would be using my nature to try and find some natural thing that they are uncomfortable with. Like I would, if I could, or if there would be a way of tripping several of them so that that we would be able to proceed forward.
Yeah, so you're going to try to observe to see what sort of motivates and or causes fear in them.
Yes, correct.
All right, go ahead and give me a nature check.
I got an 11.
11? That is not a success.
Boo.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just a reminder, Tabitha, we have hero points. So in skills challenges, you can do a reroll. I think we have 2 hero points right now.
You have 1, because every time you get a long rest, which you just had, you reset to 1.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I would not probably use it.
Yep.
Just wait till it's more of a...
Save it for later?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many failures and how many successes?
Standard is 8 successes and 3 failures.
So we have 1.
You have 1 failure. So, Tabitha, you
I'm
are...
what? Failure.
You are watching them and trying to figure out what kind of incentivizes them and or causes fear in them, and you're watching, and it seems like you're having difficulties. Certainly, you know, you guys already know that they are afraid of fire, the ones that you burned earlier. The other ones seem to be repelled by that, but other things, it seems like, you know, some of them are repelled by, you know, a type of barrier, a type of plant. Other ones are repelled by other things. The different infected things don't appear to be repelled by the same thing.
There's not an overarching...
There's not some overarching thing. And pretty much through your observations, you realize that after you've kind of made that determination, which is useful information, it's unfortunately you realize you've kind of spent a little bit too long observing and trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Up next is Aether.
All right. Well... Seeing how we're in the wilderness, I would like to use my knowledge using survival and try to find a path that would take us probably in the least obvious spot, something out of the way, so that we can move without being seen.
That sounds good. Go ahead and give me a survival check.
How about a, that looks like I rolled a 20.
Nice.
So that would be a 35.
35 is definitely a success. And one, a quick reminder of the rules, that we have. If you get a natural 20, on this, it does give you guys a rolling reroll.
I would like to go back in time and give that to Tabitha.
That is an excellent suggestion that I will not follow. I'm sorry. It's not because you rolled natural 20. It's because you critically succeeded. You beat the DC by more than 10 with a 35. So you have a rolling reroll that anyone in the party can use without having to cost them a hero point. Or a carried over reroll. So you find, down the cliff face in there, you find pretty much like the perfect set of handholds that anyone of any height could utilize. And pretty much with your guidance, the entire group is able to make it safely and unscathed down the hill. So everyone is now made it all the way down the cliffside. And at that point, we will jump over to Tegan.
Okay, so I talked to Jethal and I said, hey, these guys are afraid of fire. So let's pretend like we got like almost a wall of fire between our two produced flame cantrips that we can do. So like him in the front and me in the back, and we just try to like make our produced flames as big as we can, so it looks like the whole party is like produced in flames. They kind of trick all the animals to think that they can't come near us because we're engulfed in flame.
Okay, so that sounds like an intimidation check.
I was trying to do deception.
You're deceiving them that you're covered in flames when you're covering yourself in flames?
Well, not the whole party, right? Well, their deception is that they can't attack any of us because of the flame, where it's really just me and Jethal that have the.
I will allow you to do either intimidate for that type of an action, or you can use your divine or religion rather. That you can use one of those two skills: religion for empowering the flames, or intimidation for your end goal is to scare them away from getting close to you, which would be intimidation. So you can choose between those two skills for that action.
If I had a stick with me, would I be able to possibly have that light, like be able to light that on fire with the fire?
You can make an impromptu scorch or torch, because it's real fire that they're producing. So
yeah. All right, I'll do religion.
Okay.
Maybe. Oh, that's awesome.
What'd you get?
Well, a natural 1.
Nice. 6,
which is a negative 4.
All right. Well, that is a critical failure, which removes any standing rerolls and also fails. And
can he do a standing reroll on that?
He cannot use that standing reroll on it because it removed it as part of that, but he can use his hero point to reroll. The standing reroll is still gone, though, regardless after that.
All right, I'm going to use my hero point to reroll, and I got a natural 20, 25.
Oh, wow. Going from 1 to 20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either all or nothing. So, yeah. So, Tegan sits there and tries to... Fire seems to not be working until he just decides to throw his full force into it, and he just creates this massive burst of flame. He and Jethal coordinating their efforts, and just at that point, at the bottom of the cavern or the cliff face, they make this giant wall of fire, and a bunch of them flee. And there's this very clear path that you can go down now.
As the fire is lit, I stick my torch into it to have my own personal torch flame.
Tabitha has a flaming stick.
So how does that work mechanically? Did the one actually happen?
So essentially you started going down the wrong path, and then you decided to essentially turn and change course. Ultimately, it's a success mechanically for the skills challenge. So you have a single success, and now because you got a natural 20, which then with the bonus gives you a critical success on the check, so that gives you back the rolling reroll.
So we have two rolling rerolls now?
You have one rolling reroll because you removed one. You can only ever have a maximum of one anyway.
Oh, okay.
So you removed it and then you re-added it is what you did. Okay.
So you had a flame stutter for a second, and then you thought about it extra hard. you really put your might into it.
And yeah. So the animals, the corrupted animals, seem to have spread out and run in all different directions. Though the one thing that Tormir notices is that there are some foliage that does appear to have been burned by some of this too. He was very successful at burning a lot of things. Tormir, what would you like to do going forward?
I would like to attempt to fend off any of the wildlife that is going to randomly run in our direction. In the chaos.
So as you guys are running forward with the path that Tegan cleared, you're going to try to, you know, fend off anything that tries to attack. That sounds like a good plan. What are you using to do that?
Athletics.
Athletics. That sounds perfect. Go ahead and roll it.
Okay. Ooh, I rolled a 29.
Ooh.
With a 20, making it a 39.
That is definitely also a critical success. So if you didn't have a standing reroll, you'd have another one. But you get to keep that same one rolling forward. You guys are knocking it out of the park on this skills challenge.
I
so
feel
yeah,
sad.
I know. But yeah, essentially there are different animals that seem to be a little bit more brave than the others, and Tormir quickly dispatches them as you guys are running forward, and you are almost halfway to the finish line right now. You guys are at 3 successes and 1 failure.
Well, you know the reason why we're having such great success. It's all of us that drank tea have been rolling well.
I had some of the tea, too.
No, it's the tea naysayers that are not doing well.
Yeah. So this is kind of our motif, right? We get like 5 successes, and then we get like 3 fails at the very end.
I do appreciate the motif.
Boom, boom, shh.
All right.
I'm sure Tabitha's feeling a little bit green after that.
Yeah, I know. All right. After that, Jethal. So you guys have cleared a path, and Tormir is keeping them off your guys' path. How do you proceed to take them, hopefully, more of the way there? There's now more that seem to be flanking in around the edge of Incarnivus.
Yeah. Basically, I think I want to try and use... I think I can use... Yeah, so I want to use... I'll kind of want to use prestidigitation.
Nailed it.
To
I love that word.
Make myself, I guess, look bigger and stronger and more, intimidating to keep some of them, make some of them maybe flee or thin the flock, thin the herd.
So that sounds like an intimidation check?
Yup. That was what I was going for.
So yeah, sounds like Jethal is trying to puff himself up. He's blowing air inside of his outfit to make himself look bigger. Let's see how well that works out. What'd you roll?
24.
All right. Yeah, with a 24, you definitely you. Strangely enough, some of the tools that work in nature work here too. If you just puff yourself up like a puffer fish, it works really well. And they all do definitely kind of stay away from you. You don't really kind of pull off the whole muscular look very well. You just kind of pull off a
stay puff marshmallow man.
But sure. Regardless of that, it's extremely successful. And like there are even the bear at this point comes up and kind of has a moment of hesitation to let you guys get past.
All right,
so you guys are at 4 successes. Tabitha, back to you.
So, as we are proceeding forward, how long would my torch last? Or is it out?
No, it can still be lit. I mean, it's probably about halfway burned through at this point. But, I mean, you probably grabbed a thick enough branch that it will burn slowly.
Okay. So, I was, I'm going to try to shoot the one of like the bears that are trying to attack us. I'm going to throw my stick at it, and then I'm going to shoot it.
Okay.
Would that be an athletics?
That would probably be an athletics, yes.
Could I possibly do an acrobatics since I'm going to going to be doing this on the run?
Yeah, if you want to try to explain it as doing it acrobatically, that you're like running up a tree and like jumping over one.
I got
throwing
a
it down
25.
And... Sure.
That is not a natural success, though.
It's still a success. So
yes.
You
but
definitely
I just want to make sure that.
Yeah. You definitely beat the DC. It is not a critical success, but it is still a success. So what you end up doing is you run up a tree, or like a sort of tree that's growing sort of at an angle, run up it, throw your torch down at a bear that was leaping towards you, leap over it, and shoot two arrows into its back, at which point it kind of reels around and doesn't make any forward progress and continue on moving, protecting the rest of the party. So you guys are current
successes. I was going to have Francis continue to proceed forward on the straight path.
Sounds good. And then the rest of you, Inconovis is in sight. And interestingly enough, it looks like there is something preventing, like there are more of these things in the city, but they seem to not be moving. They're not dead. They're just standing still. And so you get all the way to the towards the city. You can start to see that. And at that point, Athir, it's to you. And you see just this massive wave of ones that seems to have come up back down the path you've come, kind of cornering you towards the city. And then there's the ones that are standing completely still in the city. What do you do to try to get further towards the goal there, Athir?
All right. Well, I think I'm going to try to do a delaying action here and allow the rest of the party to move forward. And I'm going to charge back at the oncoming creatures,
okay,
yelling and screaming and brandishing my sword and whatnot.
Sounds intimidating.
Yeah. I'll try to be intimidating with a 21.
A 21 is very successfully intimidating. So you make it through, and you can, you know, everyone sees at this point you guys are almost to the city, and Athir draws or has his weapon and shield out and turns and runs the opposite direction, and you just see he just stops kind of almost single-handedly the tide as they start engaging with him. He stops the tide from attacking the rest of the group. So we will now go to Tegan.
All right, so I noticed that there's some, like, smaller ones, not so fierce, kind of coming at us, and I want to, like, swat them away with my sword. I'm not trying to, like, defeat them. I'm more, like, kind of swatting them, but I'm going to do some, like, jumps and some kicks and just kind of go, like, you know, ballerina, half Bruce Lee, half, like, you know... acrobatic person, yeah.
I'm trying to
picture
figure out
you
what
in a tutu.
Yeah, I now immediately picture Tegan, tutu Tegan, hashtag tutu Tegan,
tutu Tegan doing acrobatic stumble duck. This is gonna be awesome.
That sounds great. Now let's roll it. Let's see what happens.
27.
That's pretty good. That is also a critical success.
Really?
So you beat it by 10. So wow. So you successfully get through. The standing reroll is still maintained on this one. But yeah, you successfully just engage through the rest of the just armies of these things. And yeah, you kind of just bat you know, different squirrels or rabbits or whatever else out of the air while wearing an imaginary tutu. And you protect the rest of the group as you are just about to make it in.
And all no right. stumble ducking.
No stumble ducking.
Wheat.
So you are at 7 successes and only 1 failure. You guys might knock this one out of the park. Let's see how this goes.
Sure, now you say it.
And a reroll.
And a reroll. Still flooding. So, Tormir, it's to you.
All right, as tempted as I am to use diplomacy, as Tony would know, this isn't going to go
this
well.
This is a long-standing diplomacy thing with Brandon, any character.
No, I'm going to try to use survival to mitigate some of the fires now that we're making our way inside to get them put out and stop the spread before it gets too out of hand.
Sounds good.
Oh, man.
And I rolled an 11. I will re-roll that with our standing re-roll.
Okay.
Tormir.
And I got a 22.
All right. So Tormir is successful at putting out the fires. Ultimately, he kind of runs through, puts out the fires, and he gets back to the rest of the group. He's like, all right, I think we got it, and you guys enter into the city. At which point, the ones that were following, as soon as they hit sort of the edge of the city, like the ones that are inside the city, they stop cold in their tracks. Almost like they're frozen, but not like with, like,
stasis?
Ice.
Like a stasis?
Kind of like a stasis, but it doesn't... Whatever the stasis is, it's not affecting you guys. The one thing that you do happen to notice, though, is that the back of Tormir's robe is on fire. And so...
Stop drop and roll, man! Stop drop and roll!
As Tabitha points it out really quick, Tormir's able to put it out relatively easy.
I go to push him and, like, trying to make him roll. I'm probably not successful at it, but I'm going to try it.
How tall are you, Tegan?
I'm, like, an inch shorter than him.
No, you're a lot shorter. He's a dwarf. He's medium size. You're size small.
I'm 2 inches shorter than him.
You are not two inches. You're 4 inches shorter than me. And I'm shorter than him.
Okay, Tegan, what is the height? What is your actual in-character height?
It's only like 3 foot. But
exactly.
I'm a foot and a half taller than you, sir.
I mean, I can believe Tegan keeps coming up like, I'm as tall as you are to someone who's a foot and a half taller than him. Like, why does everyone say I'm so short? I'm just as tall as him. And kind of doing the whole holding his head on him and then raising it at a 45-degree angle.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's going on.
Oh, look at you, wee one. You don't even come up to my beard.
At least you're still as tall as Francis, or you're taller than Francis.
I know, that's why I like him so much.
Mm. You're not the lowest guy.
I'm not.
So, once you're in the city, you just notice that there are these just completely frozen things. And the other thing you also notice is there are some that look like they're humanoid in one way or another. Also things like that. But everything is frozen in stasis, and whatever that stasis is not affecting you guys. So what do you guys do from here?
Let's go to the shiny metal cavern thing.
We need to
go to our pit.
We need to go to our friend.
Yeah, go to our pit, throw a rope down, and go talk to the master of magic dude.
I'd like to check in with Captain Falcon, see if he has any word of what's going on here.
Are you guys splitting up, or are you guys going together to see the captain?
Let's go together, just in case the stasis field doesn't capture everything.
Yeah.
Can I use knowledge to try to identify what kind of stasis field this is?
Sure. You can go ahead and use Arcane.
For
the knowledge?
Well, that's not going to go well, so I'm just going to go ahead and pass on that one.
Okay. Well, go ahead and roll it anyway. See what you actually know.
14.
That's not bad. So you understand, you don't understand the workings of this, but based upon just how you see it, it seems to be that there is something, and you do see, like, there's the one thing that's really interesting about this place is there are streetlights. All throughout the streets and things like that. And they are all lit, even though it's daytime right now. But the light on them seems to be flickering. And every once in a while, you see the angle at which the light flickers, because it's just torches inside these little, like, lanterns on posts. Every time it flickers, you kind of see, like, a little bit of energy, sort of an aura-ish on these things in stasis flicker at the exact same pace. So there seems to be some sort of a relationship between these torches, these torch posts, and whatever's holding these things in stasis. But how it works or why it works, you're not able to figure that much out. But But obviously it's not affecting you and your group, or Francis.
Onward to the captain.
Okay.
Yep.
So you guys head over towards the captain station. And
I follow
you get
along.
Okay. Sounds good. It sounds like the whole group is going there. Is any everyone's going with, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so you head over towards the captain station, and you see there are a number of the people who are battling with these things, and they seem like several of them were frozen along with the different animals and other things, and sometimes humans that they were battling with. There appears to be, you see Captain Falcon here, but he also appears to be frozen in stasis. There is one guard who's just kind of standing, like, or sitting rather on kind of a box, who just is staring at his feet. Hmm. Almost, like, despondent, as far as you can tell.
All right. I approach him and say, "Guardsman, are you okay?"
He goes, "Yeah, I don't know. And then he looks up at you and it says, "Aether, is that you?"
"It is. What happened here? What's going on?"
"This is the a while ago, there were these things, and they started like coming and attacking in every different direction. We had these rats with these weird things in their back," and kind of like points at one of the ones that's over in stasis. "Those, it looks like that. And they attacked, and then there were people, and then there were dogs and cats and eventually other animals. There was a couple birds that attacked," and he like points up at a bird that with like tentacles growing out of both of its wings that's frozen up in the sky. And he goes, "And they attacked, and then so we as the guard got called in to help, and We attacked, and some of us got bitten, but we were battling back and protecting the citizens, and then something happened. All the torches in the city turned blue. I don't understand why or what. And I ran, and suddenly everything went silent. I came back out, and everyone was like this. And had I been fighting bravely alongside the others, I'd probably be frozen, but at least I wouldn't be a coward like I am. So I'm just, I don't know what to do at this point. I feel like I failed the city."
"Well, maybe you were meant to tell us what happened. We're here to help." "So what? I wouldn't think that you failed."
"I guess that's true." He stands up and he holds out his hand. "By the way, I'm Officer Theodore."
"Oh, Theodore. I think I saw you the last time I was here. First day of the guard. You had the morning shift, didn't you?"
"Yeah, I've only been doing this for a little over a month now. So yeah, I started right around the time that you left. But it was an honor working alongside you that day."
"Well, good. It's good to have you. Well, we need to do something about what's going on here. Was there anybody that was like a visitor or that was of note or anything that we could explain why this is the way it is?"
"I haven't really gone. I mean, I've explored a little bit. I mean, all the shops, a lot of them, most of them are frozen. There's a few that are still operating, but there's food all over the city."
No wizards or sorcerers that of note that came to the city right before this happened or anything?"
Not since you and your group. I mean, there was the one that came or that met you guys here. And then I remember Teak left after. Right before everything froze, and Teak is like, "Yeah, this wasn't like this when I was here."
"All right. Well, we should investigate and see if we can't figure out a solution to this problem."
"So why don't we have the guardsman do some rounds and see if there's anything else that he can determine while we go talk to Teak's master?"
the Geek's Master's name?
I want to say Tanthus, but I'm thinking that's wrong.
Master Ganthus.
Ganthus. Was, yep.
Was close. Close.
Consonant. Yeah, let's go see Master Ganthus and let this guardman do some patrols and gather some more information, and we can meet him at the pit.
So you guys leave the guard's tent and start heading towards where you guys know that Master Ganthus is.
Yes.
As we're going along, I'm going to pull Teagan aside and kind of hang back away from Teague.
Yep.
Did you say Master Ganthus?
Yes, Master Ganthus is the one who sent us on this quest. When I was telling you about the stones the other day, He's the one that directed us to the different stones. Is he part of the Order of the White Lily?
In fact, quite the opposite. The Order of the White Lily prevented him from some sort of nefarious plot involving opening portals up to other planes. And unfortunately, we weren't able to find out more of what he was doing because he was allowed to escape through a portal. But I would urge extreme caution in dealing in this matter.
All right. Who's got the stone? Do I still have it?
I'm pretty sure I got it.
Jethal has it because he has Mage Hand. So right, I'll call Jethal back to our little discussion. Hey, Jethal, you want to hear what Tormir said? We may have a situation.
Oh?
Yeah, it appears that maybe Master Ganthus isn't who you thought he was. He's an enemy of the White Lotus, or White Lily, rather.
Okay. I mean, he hasn't done anything bad, and from what I can tell.
So tell him a little about the history of the White Lily.
Tanarin needs some help here.
Sure. Yeah. So, quick backstory here is that the Order of the White Lily originally was actually a adventuring group. So Balacius was among the founding members, as was Hammond.
Hammond.
Yeah, the orphanage guy.
Yeah, the dinosaur guy.
Yeah.
It's cool. Not the dinosaur guy.
I'm going to say that every time.
You are going to say that every single time, aren't you?
And he's never going to wonder whether or not he could, instead of wondering whether or not he should.
Yep.
Absolutely not. But yeah, so it's Hammond and... So the two that Tormir knows are Hammond and Balacius are the two that were among that original group. I'm sorry, there's a third that Tormir also knows, and then a fourth who he doesn't know the name of, but he knows is currently deceased. Actually fell in battle against Master Ganthus. But the other is Ralos, is the third, who was originally in that adventuring group. And they established the Order of the White Lily. They took down they essentially defeated most of Master Ganthus's forces. He had established forces, mostly devils, that he had brought onto the world. Most of this is explained, at this point, Tegan's familiar with the details as well. Because he goes, yeah, Master Ganthus, he summoned a bunch of us and we worked there, and we fought against the White Lily, and they were way stronger than Master Ganthus, or at least when working together they were. But yeah, they defeated him, and he ran, and I mean Master Ganthus isn't that bad of a guy, really. I mean, yeah, he did want to open portals, but that's just because he wanted more of us here.
Oh, this is the imp talking on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Do they see the imp, or is it me relating the information?
The imp gets to choose whether or not he's physically visible, because he can go either visible or invisible at will. So he just kind of appears. So an imp appears on top of Tegan's shoulders and kind of explains that Master Ganthus isn't that bad of a guy. He just wanted to bring more devils here.
So,
what
we got
this creature.
It's my pet. Just it's an imp. It's a devil, and
right.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
He's my grandfather's. Anyway, so
have questions.
Okay.
If this guy says that Mather Ganthus wasn't a bad guy, then he's probably a pretty bad dude. Plus, he was fighting Balatius and Hammond and Ralos, which we know are good guys. Jethal, I think we've got to take this seriously.
I mean, how bad could he be? Ask your little imp guy. What was he doing with all these devils?
Snuggles, what was he doing? What was he actually doing?
Is your imp named Snuggles?
Yeah, so
a little bit of background on this. Tegan doesn't actually know the name of his imp. He just gives it a new name every single time he refers to him. It just always starts with an S.
Yes. It was Snuggles, and now it's Snuggles. It'll be Sniffles next time, so whatever.
It's S something. I think Tegan's just winging it when he names his imp.
Sure.
But yeah, so anyways, so Snuggles, he goes, yeah, I'm Snuggles. And he goes, yeah, so I'm, yeah, so he wasn't, like, killing people. I mean, he did kill a few people, but, I mean, they were fighting him. They deserved it. But no, really, what Master Ganthus was doing was he wanted to establish order. He wanted to create a society under which everyone could prosper. That's really, he's not a bad guy.
So this is an imp talking, so chaotic, lawful evil. They want order just as long as it benefits themselves. So if you could imagine our world with a bunch of devils in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we don't tell anyone that we have what we have, since now the imp guy's here. And we just say, hey, we couldn't get it. Can we go get the next stone or whatever?
How can we keep this from him? I feel like we won't be able to keep this from him.
I don't know. If we tell him and he gets all five, we're going to have more than just a blubbering blob. We might have a world full of devils.
I mean, this outside here just seems terrible as well. Like, what is going on? Maybe this is something he's trying to right as wrong. Maybe we need to ask him. Maybe we need to question him and understand what his motives were back then. Maybe he's changed.
Can you discern Master Ganthus's motives?
Not without being there talking to him.
All right.
One other thing to remind you of is Master Ganthus was also one of Hup's teachers.
True.
Yeah. So that's just deviousness all over right there written. Just complete and total deviousness. So, all right, Jethal, if you can pull it out of him,
I could pull anything out of him. Maybe we need to talk to him first.
All right, well, then let's not tell him what we have until after you've had your discussion.
I do feel like maybe I shouldn't be in the same room.
Will he recognize you?
Well, I do have this, and I pull back my sleeve and reveal a tattoo that has the white lily on it.
Maybe keep that covered.
Or maybe just stay outside.
You were not a part of the White Lily when they fought Master Ganthus, so you yourself were not at the fight.
Yeah, so definitely keep it covered. But I want you there just in case things go south.
Maybe
you may not want to be there when it goes south, but
just kind of, you know, hang back a bit, and we can, you know, see how things shake out.
All right, you've convinced me.
All right.
You guys head down towards the building. that same building that you found before with the false front to it, and you see a bunch of these things that were, you know, a bunch of these like tentacle things that were heading towards that location, or heading towards or from. It's kind of difficult to see when they're in stasis. But first, before you finish your trip through Incanavis towards the house, you notice smoke in the distance. A few ripples appear in the air as though an invisible sheet was there in midair, and something was moving underneath the sheet, something large. Jethal gets a strange yet familiar feeling about what is going on. And we'll find out what happens with those bees next time.
What? That's messed up.
On Paper, Pencil, Dice. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. We will, again, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any ideas, thoughts, questions, fan art, anything that you can think of, feel free to reach out to us. We are, you can reach us on Facebook at Paper, Pencil, Dice. You can find us, we have a Discord server. You can find the link to that out on Facebook. Additionally, you can reach out to us by email. We can be reached at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you guys. So until next time, keep gaming, friends. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Reach out to us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time to find out what our heroes get into next on Paper, Pencil, Dice.